Amen. Acts chapter 17. The text for this evening is the verse 16. Verse 16. Now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city holy, given to idolatry. Leaving Berea, Paul traveled 200 miles south to Athens, as we read there in the verse 15. Athens was the most celebrated city in Greece. It was the center of philosophy, literature, science, and the arts. Athens, the city, was named after the Greek goddess Athena. Named after a goddess, that then will tell us something about the religious and moral state of the city. Indeed, it is not surprising that when the apostle arrived there in the city of Athens, he discovered it was wholly given to idolatry. Wholly given to idolatry. It wasn't the case that there would be the odd idol or shrine here and there. No, the city was wholly given to the worship of idols. And those words, wholly given to idolatry, those words may be translated, the city was full of idols. Full of idols. It is recorded that the streets of Athens were lined with idols. Indeed, an ancient writer of the time said it was easier to find a god in Athens than it was to find a man. Such was it given over to idolatry. That was the religious environment that Paul encountered when he arrived in Athens. He left Berea, where he ministered to the people there who, we're told in verse 11, received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily. What a contrast now from leaving Berea and the people there and coming to the people in Athens. He came to a city where people, many of the people, knew nothing about the scriptures at all. Yes, there was a Jewish synagogue there, and Paul, as a Jew, the practice was, when he arrived, entered the synagogue and ministered to the Jews that were gathered there. There, of course, in the synagogue, the Old Testament scriptures would have been open in their worship services. But the Jews there didn't seem to have much of an influence on the city of Athens, because the people were wholly given to idolatry. The Jews had the scriptures, but it would appear they hadn't shared the scriptures or the truth of the scriptures with any there in that city. We would say, oh, that God would have this church to be an effective witness here in this town of Port Hope. May people know that here on the Toronto Road there is a church where the Bible is open and where the Word is preached and Christ is preached. But there was no such witness in Athens. for the city was wholly given to idolatry. It was a pagan city, and Paul would begin to carry out his ministry there of preaching to the pagan people. And it's interesting how he did preach to them. I want first of all to consider Paul and how he was stirred in Athens. He had sent for Silas and Timothy to come to him with all speed, verse 15. And so there Paul, he's in Athens, and he's waiting for Silas and Timotheus to come, no doubt to help him in the work of the Lord there in Athens. And of course, there's always need for workers in the Lord's work. Now, while he waited for them to arrive, he saw something of the paganism of the city. And we read in the verse 16, and while Paul waited for them and others, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. It stirred him. The first thing we notice then about Paul being stirred, we see that he was troubled. He was troubled. Upon seeing a city wholly given to idolatry and paganism, we're told his spirit was stirred. That word stirred is a very strong word. It's a word that describes the apostle's feelings. The word means provoked. His feelings were provoked. It wasn't the case of Paul seeing the city given over to idols, and it didn't affect them. It most certainly did affect them. It provoked him. He was stirred in his heart when he saw the people given to the worship of idols and their pagan behavior of the people there. It stirred him. Now, of course, Paul, being a holy man of God, Paul being a true servant of the Lord, Paul being a preacher of the word, it's not surprising then that this spiritual man, Paul, was stirred and grieved deeply by what he saw. A less spiritual man visiting Athens would not have been stirred. It wouldn't have affected them at all. They would simply have accepted what the people were doing there in Athens. They would just have accepted that the streets that were lined with idols. And that's the way it is. Even today, those who are more spiritual today are grieved in their hearts with what's taking place, and the moral, immoral temperature of the world today. I hate even to mention it. I hate even to mention it. But we have this transgender issue that is seen among young people today, and even being promoted in some schools. What does that do to us, Billy? Does it not stir us? Does it not grieve us when we hear of these things and perhaps read about such things? And then, of course, there's the promoting of the sodomite agenda, that filthy, corrupt practice. That grieves us as well, does it not? And yet there are churches in our land, and they permit it. And their men and women in pulpits, they see nothing wrong with it. That shows you their lack of spirituality, their lack of decency. It shows you their lack of knowledge of God's word. When God destroyed the city of Sodom and Gomorrah because of that filthy practice, that stirs us, does it not, in what we see taking place all around us today? And we say, can it get any worse? And we think back 5 years ago, 2 or 3 years ago, the things that are happening today were not even happening 2 or 3 or 5 years ago. And doesn't it grieve us as those who love the Lord and love the Word that we have this on our very doorstep, as it were, and it's pushed down our throats all the time? Take a stand against it and you're the worst in the world. Well, Paul was troubled, and surely it troubles us. And next we have Paul's teaching. Paul wasted no time getting the truth of the gospel out to those whom he encountered there. Verses 17 and 18, therefore disputed he in the synagogue. Paul never wastes time when he gets to any new city. Goes straight to the synagogue. Therefore he disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews and with the devout persons, and in the market daily with them that met with him, and certain philosophers of the Epicureans and of the Stoics encountered him. And some said, what will this babbler say? Others, some, he seemeth to be a sinner for the strange God, because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection. Are we thankful for a man like Paul? Doesn't it do it good to read the life of the Apostle Paul? There he was in an idol worshipping city, given over to paganism. And what did Paul do? He preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection. Now you see, believer, there is the answer to what's happening today. It's the preaching of Christ. It's the preaching of the gospel. It's the preaching of righteousness. And Paul not only preached Christ, he preached the resurrection of Christ. And here in a city like Athens, where the people were worshipping dead, dumb, man-made idols, Paul was preaching a living Christ, a living person, the living God of heaven. What a preacher Paul was. He said, does you good to read about him. And of course, he was criticized, made fun of. What said this babbler? This man's babbling. That word babble is a word that means a base fellow. In other words, the lowest of the low. That's what they thought of Paul and his preaching of the gospel. He's a base fellow. He's only a babbler. Of course, this came from the philosophers of the Epicureans and the Stoics, the philosophers. Oh, those highly educated individuals. I always think of Pastor Willie Mullen, And he will be dealing with people like this. He used to talk about the Dopey Jones from the universe, wouldn't he? And a good way to describe them. Go to university to be educated, but when it comes to the things of God, well, they're sort of Dopey Joes, all right. The philosophers in Athens, that's what they were. It came from them that Paul was nothing more than a babbler. And I'm not lower myself to tell you the sort of stuff that these philosophers were teaching. Because what it was lurid and corrupt. That goes along with idol worship. And here, those so-called educated individuals said Paul was a babbler. He was a base fellow. Oh yes, take your stand for the Lord. Promote the truth and purity and righteousness and holiness. And you'll be called many a thing. You'll be called many a thing by the world today. And the so-called educated people of the day will regard you as a base fellow. That's right. Well, remember what the Savior said in Matthew 10 and verse 25. It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master. That's what we want to be, as our master. It is enough that the disciple be as his master and the servant as his Lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household? How much more? Beelzebub. Beelzebub means the prince of devils. Can you imagine? That's what they call the Savior. The prince of devils. And that their Lord is saying to us here, well, if they call the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household? How much more will they call us today? And whatever they call my dear Savior, I'll tell you something right now. It's his company I want to be in. I want to be identified with Christ. Away with the philosophers. And let us take our stand with Christ and his truth and his word. As well as Paul being troubled and Paul's teaching, Paul also met the talkers. The talkers. After Paul told the Athenians about Jesus and the resurrection, they then took him and brought him on to Areopagus. Now Areopagus was the highest court in the land, and they wanted the apostle to tell them more of what this new doctrine whereof thou speakest. Tell us more about this new doctrine. Well, it's always encouraging when people want to know more about the doctrines of God's word. That's encouraging. Tell us more. But then what happens next is not so encouraging. You look there in verse 21. For all the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else. You don't rely on those words. Spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing. This is spent their time on. And here was some new thing that they heard from the lips of Paul. They would stand in the marketplace and engage their time with idle talk. So different from those in Berea, as we've already noticed. They search the scriptures daily. That's what they spend their time at. Reading God's word, studying the word, searching the scriptures, but not the Athenians. They spend their time in idle talk. They talk and talk and talk. Not that they wanted to know anything more or gain any benefit from the ministry of Paul. No, it was just because it was something new, and it was something new to talk about. That's all. They were talkers. They were idle gossipers. And all that Paul told the Athenians was of no benefit to them. All that they were interested in was to engage in idle talk. Spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing. Well, if you're spending your time in nothing else, you're not doing anything. You're just an idle individual doing nothing. That's what they spent their time. And the only reason the Athenians talked about Paul's message was because it was a new thing. That's all. Just because it was something new. Something new to talk about. What a truly useless exercise. Paul spoke about such individuals later on in his first letter to Timothy. Turn to 1 Timothy 5. 1 Timothy 5, and there in verse 13. Verse 13. And withal, they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also, and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. He wasn't talking about the Athenians, but he was certainly talking about people like the Athenians. Busybodies, idle talk, doing nothing else but idle talk. Some new thing they had heard from Paul. As well as seeing Paul being stirred, that leads us to consider Paul and his sermon. Paul now delivered a message to those gathered at Mars Hill, which was the court of Aretaeus, mentioned there in verse 19. And that's where the court was located, on Mars Hill. In this sermon, he delivered the word, and in so doing, first of all, he exposed the ignorance of the people. He spoke about their ignorance. Verse 22, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. Though that word superstitious means you are very devout in your ways. He wasn't paying them a compliment. You are very devout in your ways. And then Paul goes on to say, for as I passed by and beheld your devotions. The word devotions, as you can see from your Bible margin, The word devotion means gods that he worshipped. Gods that he worshipped. So, you get the picture. They were very devoted to the gods, to the idols that they worshipped. They were very devout in all their ways. No, they were not devoted to the God of heaven. Paul could have commended them for that. No, they were devoted to their gods, their false gods, devoted to their idols, man-made idols that they regarded as gods, gods that could do something for them. Turn to Psalm 115, please. Psalm 115. And here's David. He's speaking about the truth of Psalm 115, verse 3. But our God is in the heavens. No, he's not lying along the street somewhere. God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. Their gods are the work of men's hands. Doesn't matter what they're made of. They can use the most expensive material. Still a dumb idol. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. These are the gods, like those that the Athenians were worshipping and devoted to. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not. Neither speak they through their throat. They that make them are like unto them, so is everyone that trusteth in them. Gives a good clear picture, doesn't it, of the folly of idol worship and the ignorance of those to engage in such a practice as worshipping idols. Eyes that don't see, ears that they don't hear, the mouth that they can't speak, feet that they can't walk. And yet Paul is here saying, regarding those of the Athenians, he spoke about their devotion. They were sold out to their false gods. They were sold out to the gods that couldn't do anything for them. Nothing at all. You think of those religions today, their places of worship are coming down with idols. And they bow down before them. And they worship them. And they present gifts unto them. You think of the pure Roman Catholic. And there they go on their pilgrimages up the side of a mountain. And believing God will accept their worship as they go up barefoot. And the time they get there and come down again, their feet are bleeding. And they're so devoted to their false god that they think their God will accept them for the sacrifice they're making, and how they're climbing that mountain on a pilgrimage to some place where the Virgin Mary is supposed to have appeared unto some of them, and there's a shrine there. Dear, help them. The dear Roman Catholic need the gospel. They need the truth of God's word to set them free, to show them who the true God is. No one can doubt their devotion, no. But it's all in vain. There's nothing to it. There's no need for such pilgrimages. No need for idols or statues or shrines. What men and women need today, what Roman Catholic souls need today, is Christ, the Lord Jesus. That's who they need. They need the Lord. The Athenians were devoted to their gods of their own making. And it was all in vain. And Paul saw that, and it stirred him. After their ignorance, we see the instruction. Paul now gives them the truth with regard to who they ought to be worshipping. In verse 23, "For I passed by, and behold your devotions. I found an altar with an inscription to the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship." Ye ignorantly worship him. "Declare I unto you." They were worshipping a God that they didn't know. And you know, you find that man knows somewhere in his mind that there is a superior being. In some uncivilized places, when the missionaries go out, what do they find? They find the neighbors worshipping the sun or the moon or something else, because they're acknowledging there is a superior being, but they don't know who he is. So it was with the Athenians. They acknowledged there was a superior being, and that's why Paul saw the altar to the unknown God. And then Paul went on to say, "Whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you." And Paul sets about identifying, as it were, the unknown God. He sets about identifying the God of heaven. And what a tremendous exposition he gave them. He told them, verse 24, "God that made the world and all things therein." So he told them about God, his God, the Creator. He made all things. He told them about his omnipotence. He's the Lord of heaven and earth. He told them about his omnipresence, telling them that the Lord does not dwell in temples made with hands. He's omnipresent. He is everywhere. He told them about his sovereignty, given to all life and breath. Verse 26. He said God is the Creator, God is omnipotent, God is omnipresent, and God is sovereign. And he spoke about the God of salvation. Verse 27, "They that should seek the Lord God," the one he's been telling you about, "you should seek him." He says he's the sustainer. In him we live and move and have our being. Verse 28. Paul then tells them that the one true God cannot be made into an idol made with hands. Verse 29. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone graven by art and man's device. So Paul didn't mince his words. He gave the truth to the Athenians. And you know what else he preached to them? The judgment. Verse 31. Because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained. Quite different from the God the Athenians were worshipping, wasn't it? They show you their ignorance, their darkness. And God, or Paul, told them who the true God is. Turn over to Isaiah, please. Isaiah 44. Isaiah 44. Verse 6. Thus said the Lord, the King of Israel. The King of Israel. And his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, Christ, he's our Redeemer. I am the first, and I am the last. Beside me, there is no God. And verse 8, fear ye not, neither be afraid. Have not I told thee from that time, and have declared it? Ye are even my witnesses. Is there a God beside me? Yea, there is no God. I know not any. That's the God, believer, we worship. This is the God we worship. There's no God like the one we worship every Sabbath day, every time we come into this house to worship God. This is the God we worship. We're not thankful. The grace and the mercy of God in our lives. And we're not brought up in a religion where we bow down before dumb idols. It can do us no good, no matter how devoted we may be. Is it good? God has brought us into a knowledge of the truth. And the knowledge of who God is. Is there a God beside me? Yea, there is no God. I know not any. Praise the Lord. As well as the ignorance and the instruction, we have the insistence. See what Paul insisted on the Athenians doing here. After telling the Athenians about the one and only true God, he calls upon them to repent of their idolatry. He insists they ought to repent of their idolatry and turn to the one true living God. Verse 30. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commanded all men everywhere to repent. Everywhere, that included those in Athens. All men everywhere to repent. In verse 31, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained. whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, and that he hath raised him from the dead. Of course, who's he speaking about? None other than Christ. And so here's Paul, and he's dealing with the judgment. He's telling them about the day of judgment. And he's telling them who will do the judging. The one, that man, he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained. That's Christ. He's the one who will sit upon the throne. And he says, all men everywhere ought to repent. Why? Because one day you're going to meet your judge. One day you're going to stand before the one who sits upon the throne. The day of judgment is coming. You need to repent of your sin. And be prepared, for there's a day of judgment coming. And the one whom you've rejected, he's the one who'll be your judge. Sinners ought to be aware that the Christ they have rejected today will be their judge tomorrow. And Paul called upon the Athenians to repent. He gave them the gospel. He preached Christ unto them. Paul knew that's the answer to paganism. Preaching Christ. Preaching salvation. Preaching the cross. Preaching the blood. That's the answer to for the idol worshippers. Finally, Paul was stirred. Then you have Paul and the sermon. And then you have Paul and the saved. The saved. Paul had preached to the pagans of Athens. And his labor was not in vain in the Lord. Verse 34. Howbeit certain men cleave unto him. So they joined themselves with Paul. Cleave unto him and believed among which was Dionysius, the Areopagite, and a woman named Damaris, others with them. So, while there were results from Paul's preaching, there was also the derision, as we've already pointed out. The derision, verse 32. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked. And others said, we will hear thee again of this matter. Go thy way. When I have a more convenient season, I will call for thee. They were saying the same thing. They mocked him. But Paul was in good company, because we read in Luke 22 and verse 63, and the men that held Jesus mocked him and smote him. So Paul's in good company, and believer, when the world mocks us, we're in good company. And that's the company we want to be in. Paul was mocked because he preached Christ. You go over there to the book of Jude. Book of Jude, verse 17. Jude says, verse 17, but beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time. Mockers in the last time, should walk after their own ungodly lusts. Well, no surprise that those who walk after their own ungodly lust will mock the man who takes a stand for Christ and preaches Christ and preaches the cross. So there was the derision, but there was the delivered. There were those who were delivered. Again, in the verse 34, certain men cleave on them and believe. And believe. And a woman named Damaris, and others with them. Now, Paul didn't see revival there, but his labor was not in vain in the Lord. He saw people saved. That made it all worthwhile. Preaching to the pagans, it made it worthwhile. And again, he preached Christ. That always makes it worthwhile. Can't fail. Praise the Lord. You cannot fail when you preach Christ. And you preach the word. And you preach the truth. And so there's Paul, and he's been in Athens. They've seen the paganism, the idol worship, the devotion of the people to their idols, and Paul preached Christ unto them. And we read in that verse 34, there were those who were saved. And they said it was revival. But nevertheless, all people see it. Isaiah tells us in 32 and verse 20, blessed are ye that sow beside all waters. Blessed are ye that sow beside all waters. That teaches us that when there's the opportunity to sow the seed of the gospel, we may not see revival, but we can see souls saved, individuals saved, loved ones saved, neighbors saved, friends saved, strangers saved. And the truth of the gospel has the power, praise the Lord, has the power to deliver men and women from paganism and idol worship. There's something to live for. When you come to a knowledge of Christ, what can an idol do? Has a mouth and can't speak, ears and cannot hear, eyes and cannot see, and feet and cannot walk. May the Lord bless His word to our hearts. We do indeed thank the Lord for the memory of a man like the Apostle Paul. What a ministry he had. Let's bow our heads together and pray. Oh, dear Lord, we bless Thee for the word. We do indeed thank Thee for such a man as the Apostle Paul. A brave man, courageous man, bold for the Lord. Preach the truth. Never failed to preach Christ. Lord, we pray that Thou would bless this word tonight to all who have heard it. And for any, Lord, who know not the living Savior and the living God, bring them to the foot of the cross even tonight. Again, Lord, we commit ourselves to Thee and our church family to Thee. Keep us healthy and well. Keep us safe, Lord. Be with us throughout this week. Be with us, Lord, in Thy will on Tuesday evening. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be our abiding portion now and forevermore. Amen.
Amen.